You are listening to the Hill City Church Podcast. Our mission is to become and make disciples who walk with God, connect with people, and impact the world.
All right, good morning, church. Man, good to see you. Nick, sounds like Nick kind of warmed things up here. That was a solid good morning. Very strong. Hey, I'm Jake, one of the pastors here. We're continuing in our series this morning called Run the Race. And in fact, two of our other pastors are about to run a race tomorrow morning. It's called the Boston Marathon. And pretty exciting. So these are actually their bib numbers. If you want to track them, not in like a creepy way, but if you want to track them, that's tomorrow morning. And they're running that, which is super cool. Excited for them. But you might be thinking, okay, doesn't Jake run? You know, he's got the shoes. Why isn't he in Boston? And now you know my skill level. All right. I am an amateur. Don't do it to win. Do it for the love. But Josh, Andrew, myself have actually been running together for the last 15 years, since 2009. Been friends since college. And in fact, last spring, they helped me to train for my very first marathon, and they pushed me really good in that training plan, and I felt like I was at a decent spot for race day a year ago. And in fact, the first 16 miles of that race went exceedingly well, PR'd in my half marathon, and then mile 17. Oh yeah, we all get to mile 17 in life. Mile 17, cramp, one cramp from my hips to the tips of my toes. I saw it. I looked like a zombie, just like doing this. And I didn't know what was going on. That had never happened to me before. And I've ran for a lot of years. And I was like, what is happening? And I'm doing that for miles. And like this older gentleman, he's jogging past me. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? He goes, you got this. And I'm like, what? It's not even an answer. I get to the aid station, and it's just a bunch of high school dudes. Don't even reach out their hand to give me some Gatorade. I'm like, they don't know what's going on. So I get, you know, down the road. Apparently, it's called hitting the wall. I hit the wall for 6 miles. I did that for 6 miles. At mile 17, when that started, I was like, how am I going to do this for 10 more miles to the finish? Don't know. But at mile 23, things started to loosen up, felt a little bit of my legs again. That was great. And as I'm coming around the corner, back onto, we're on the green belt near Warm Springs Golf Course, and last few miles of the race, all of a sudden I see two familiar faces jogging up to me, and it's Andrew and Josh. And I didn't know they were coming to run me in, and they ran me the last 3 to 4 miles into the finish, which was super cool of them, very encouraging at the point where I felt the lowest, like I don't even know if I'm going to finish this. They come, and they ran me all the way to the end, which was awesome, and finally got there, and then I had, you know, my real coach, this next slide here, that's my daughter. She's like, stretch it out, Dad, stretch it out. Yeah, that was a wild time. Got to the finish, immediately collapsed after that. They ran and got me a bunch of pickle juice, which I didn't know was a thing, but I probably drank about a half gallon of pickle juice and did not do great things inside of me, but my cramps went away, so it did work. So that's the finish line, and I'll tell you what, I could not have gotten to that finish line without those guys showing up, and I felt like I was just way behind and like so far from the finish, and they're like, you got this many miles, you've been going this pace, because they've been tracking me too. I'm like, this is awesome, and I just like got that boost, you know, that boost of encouragement as they helped me run to the finish. So let me ask you, who are you running with? Or who's running with you? In the race of faith, who are you helping get to the finish line? Or who's yelling at you, one more mile to go, one more mile, you got this, run harder, sprint to the finish. Who are you running with, and who's doing that for you? Maybe you're here today and you've been running alone. You've been running the race of faith alone for a long time. Maybe you've been cramping on the green belt for 6 miles. You're like, anybody? You know? Since 2020, we see that many Christians have actually dropped out of Christian community. They've been running alone. This is Pew Research. They found that 9% of Christians attend church more than before the pandemic. That's cool, 9% of you. 42% have stayed the same. 25%, about a quarter, say they attend less often than before the pandemic. And then this is the one that is crazy to me. 23% of Christians in America said they did not attend before the pandemic. They do not attend now. So a quarter of American Christians saying they're not in Christian community. They are running the race alone. They're not in it together. They're by themselves. And maybe that's you here today. Maybe you identify as a follower of Jesus, but you have been running alone, running solo for a long time now. And the reality is, we are not made to run alone. We were not made to run by ourselves. In his newer book, Practicing the Way, we have a bunch of them, stack of them over there. John Mark Comer puts it a little bit more bluntly when he says, you can't follow Jesus alone. Not shouldn't, can't. It's not even an option. Jesus didn't have a disciple. He had disciples, plural. He called people to apprentice under him in community. So we were made to run in community. We were made to run together. So if you're taking notes, three people, I want to encourage you to find three people to run with today. These are three types of people that you need in order to run the race and to finish it well. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to the book of Hebrews. We started in chapter 10 or 12 last week. We're going to rewind a few chapters to chapter 10, verse 24. And this is about the race of faith, doing this together. This is what he says. Author of Hebrews says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love, to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So he's writing to these Jewish Christians who also apparently have the same problem as us. Stop going to church. They're dropping out of Christian community. They're not meeting together. They're not showing up for one another. And in fact, it's become a habit. It's become a habit for many of these Christians. And so the author of this letter is saying, hey, get back into Christian community. Start meeting together again. Do not neglect this extremely important part of your discipleship. Now, one of the reasons that these Christians are Jewish Christians and stopped meeting together is because they're being persecuted. They're being persecuted from the Jews who are kicking them out of the synagogues. They're being persecuted by the Greeks, by the Romans, by the Gentiles. And so everywhere they turn, they're just being persecuted, and so they're just dropping out. They're tired, they're afraid, and that's why they stopped going to church. Why did we stop going to church? New Netflix special, you know? Oh, new brunch place around the corner, that's awesome, right? These guys are weary, tired, afraid, because they're being persecuted in a real way. They're not only considering, if you look at the book of Hebrews, they're not only considering dropping out of church, they're considering dropping out of the race. Out of the race of faith all together. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, no, don't drop out of Christian community. This is why you need to meet up. This is why you need each other. In the face of opposition, in the face of hostility from the world to your faith, you guys need each other now more than ever before. You guys need one another. You cannot make it alone. You cannot make it alone. And in the Christian life, here's the reality, you will experience opposition to your faith. At some degree, you will experience some opposition to your faith. And in fact, around the world, when you look at our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, there's more Christian persecution now than there ever has been in Christian history, including the first three centuries of the church. More martyrs for Christ right now in our day and age. You will experience some level of opposition to your faith. And truly, in this Christian life, you will at some point feel weary and tired and may even consider dropping out of the race. Now, what's the antidote for that? Is it the American way of individualism, isolation? I'm just going to do it myself. Pull myself up by my own bootstraps, do it myself. No, the antidote is leaning in, It's leaning into Christian community, finding other believers to run the race with. And that's the first thing I want you to write down. Find other believers to run with. People who are going to be on you side by side, right? When you're cramping for 6 miles, you can look to your left, you can look to your right. There's other people who are running this race with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. We need that in our lives. I mentioned that Josh, Andrew, and myself, we've been running together for 15 years, right? We've been running together literally. We've been running together spiritually for that time as well. This is a pic of us graduation. Terrible picture. Terrible picture. We thought this was a joke picture. And they put that on the cover of the magazine for our school. Went to hundreds, if not thousands of people. I was like, seriously, dude? So that's us, graduation. A few years before that, we were on a retreat together, the three of us, a spiritual retreat with our school up in McCall. And it was a prayer retreat and leadership retreat. And so that evening, we did a run in McCall. And night run, put our headlamps on, and we're cruising around the trails and the roads, and it turned into like a prayer run. And so we were praying, and one of the prayers that we prayed was, God, if you want to use us to plant a church together someday, we're here. We'd love to see that. Use us. That's 2011. Fast forward to 2018, and that prayer comes to fruition as Hill City Church. And so the three of us have been pastoring together, running together spiritually for a long time, and we have only been able to make it because we're doing it together. One of our church planting mentors, I remember before we started, Josh asked him, he said, is it a good idea to plant a church with my friend and my brother? And our mentor said, you know, learn from me, do not go it alone. Don't go it alone. Doing it together is absolutely better. The best years of ministry, the most joyous years of ministry, were the ones I was doing with my friends. And so that was his advice to Josh and to us. And the same goes for you. Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Do it together. That's the better way. That's the more joyous way, is doing it together. Find other believers to run with. Now, I say believers because this isn't just any friend. This isn't just any community. These are people who are running the same race. Running the race of faith, who are running towards Jesus with you. There's such a strong pull from the culture. There's plenty of other people who would love to take you right off this path, who are pulling you off this path, this race. But you need to find other believers who are going to run it with you. Now, the reality is some of you have yet to join the race. Some of you have yet to join the team, and maybe you've been wanting to. Maybe you've been on the fence. Maybe you want to become a believer, follow Jesus. Well, today's the day. Today is the day that you can receive salvation, not because of what you've done, not to earn it, but because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you, because of his death, burial, resurrection being applied to you today. And if you want to get to the starting line of faith, I'll show you where it is. It's right here, right in the waters of baptism. Anybody want to see some baptisms this morning? Yeah. All right. Here's what we're going to do. So last service, we didn't have any baptisms during service. I said, hey, every time I say I got my shorts in the car and a towel, extra towel, and extra shirt, the last two sermons I've said that, people take me up on it during service. That did happen at the end of last service, which was super cool. Justin, who I met at the men's breakfast yesterday, that was his first interaction with our church. Came to men's breakfast today, was here, got baptized. He's going to Alpha at 1 o'clock, all right, which is super cool. I want to extend that invitation to anybody else here today. At some point this morning, if you want to get baptized, man, we would love to walk with you in that. We do have a baptism right now. Cody, where are we at? Mr. Cody, let's welcome him up. So this is Cody's baptism statement. You can feel free to head right back there. Let me move to the side here. Cody says, I was born into a family that went to church. I'd always believed in God. My mom reminded me of the time I was four, went up to her, told her, I want Jesus, I want Jesus. However, as I got older, the people around me started influencing me into sin. My relationship with God has felt like I'm constantly going back and forth from being distracted by sin and the things of the world to being called back to God and repenting and pursuing a relationship with Him until I'm once again influenced back into sin. I have wanted to dedicate my life to Jesus and fully abandon the things of the world for some time now. And I believe God has been calling me to get baptized. Amen. Man, that's the best part of my day right there. I love that. Man, just join the team right then and there in the waters of baptism. I'll tell you what, they're actually warm today. This is they're usually cold. They're warm today, thanks to Pastor Nick. But if you want to join the team, come talk to us later in service. But if you're already part of the team and you've been running the race for a while and you've been running it alone, here's what I'm going to tell you. Join the team by joining a life group. Now, am I biased because I'm the life group's pastor? Yes, I am. But this is the best way to find other believers to run with, We have 78 life groups, 30 of which are open and available for you to sign up for today. We got groups, men's groups, women's groups, co-ed groups, young adult groups, in Boise, Meridian, Eagle, Nampa, all over the place, all sorts of different groups. This is the primary way in which we run together with other believers here at Hill City. Now, we actually have a men's group that literally runs together every Wednesday morning before their 6:30 meeting. Pass. For me, pass. But for these guys, respect. 5:30 just out there grinding and then running together and then running together spiritually right in here, 6:30. Life groups, that's where we run the race of faith together. My life group has been invaluable to me over the last 5.5 years. This is the group that I do, these are the people I do life with every single week. The people I break bread with, open the scriptures with, pray with, laugh with, cry with. They are the ones who've brought us meals when we had our kids. They're the ones who've surrounded us in love and prayer during my mother's battle with cancer. They're the people who know me the best, who love me, who pray with me, for me, who run with me. This is my life group, and I could not have made it this far without these guys. And as the African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Go together. Like Josh said last week, is the race of faith a sprint or is it a marathon? It's a long race, right? If we want to go far, if we want to finish this marathon of faith together, we got to do it together, not alone. So that's the first thing. Find other believers to run with. The second is this. Find not only another believer, but believers who push you. Believers who push you in your faith. The author of Hebrews says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That Greek word there for stir up is paroxysmos. That's a fun one right there. Paroxysmos. It means to provoke, to prod. You want somebody doing this to you, provoking you, prodding you. That's what this word means. It's usually used in kind of a negative sense, but here in the most positive way you can to prod someone, it's used positively to prod, motivate other believers towards love and good deeds, or as the New Living Translation puts it, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. Who is pushing you in your life to grow in your faith? Who's pushing you right now in your life, provoking you, stirring you up, motivating you to get off the couch and do something with your faith? right? Do love in good works. Because most of the time, we don't really feel like working out. We don't really feel like going to the gym or getting out and going for a run. But when you have a friend, somebody, do I got something going on behind me? No, I don't. Okay. When you got a friend, let me just shut these real quick, who is like, hey, let's go for a run, right? Get off the couch. Come on, let's do it together. Or you got Pastor Andrew, who in the dead of winter, like 11 degrees, he's like, throw on your clothes, running clothes. We're going to the hills. I'm like, no, I don't want to. But you got to have a friend like that, right? It was like, let's go. Let's get out there and get off the couch. Do something with your faith. When you have somebody else who's keeping you accountable and pushing you, that's how you're growing. That's how you're growing in your faith. And after you do that, you go out for a run or a jog or something, you feel better, right? It's the same thing with your faith. We all need those friends who push us in our faith to help us to grow, to say, hey, you know, tonight let's go over to the Boys Rescue Mission, serve a meal, right? Let's go visit this widow who is in need. Let's go invite this friend over from life group who's been feeling lonely lately. Let's go do something. Go do something good, right? And then you're like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's get out there and do it. And after you do, you're like, that felt good. That was really good. I actually did something with my faith. We need each other to push each other in our faith, to help us grow, to become like Jesus, to do what Jesus did and is calling us to do. Now, over the season of Lent, my life group, we went through John Mark Comer's teaching on fasting during that 6 weeks, and we fasted every Wednesday together as a group, so just once a week during those 6 weeks. And at the end of that, I asked an extremely terrible question, an awful question. I said, do you have any takeaways from this series? And my group goes, yeah, we should just keep doing this every week. I'm like, oh, no. Should not have said that. I don't want to do that. After this video, so this video, it says, hey, why don't you fast, you know, whatever you would have spent on a meal, give that to somebody in need. That's actually an ancient Christian practice. And so they're like, yeah, we should just do that every week. And I'm like, man, that's truly a loving good deed, guys. Do I want to do it? No. I don't want to do it. But I guess that's what we're doing now. That's what my group wanted to do. They're stirring me up. They're spurring me on. I'm supposed to be the leader of the group. I'm supposed to be the pastor. And they're like, no, we're doing this. And it's helping me to grow in my faith. Who's doing that for you? Who's pushing you? Who's prodding you? Who's motivating you to get up off the couch and do something with your faith? Now, life groups is one of those places. But another avenue for finding someone to help motivate you, help you grow in your faith, is finding a mentor. Finding a mentor. A mentor is like a coach, right? Somebody who has experience. Somebody who has already been down the path, who has already ran races, who knows what they're doing. I remember my running coach in high school helping me with my running form and pushing me in practices. And then out on the race, he'd just like pop out of a bush and then he'd start running with me. I'm like, whoa, where'd you come from? And he's like, keep those arms straight, you know, lock in to the person in front of you, keep your head up, and then he'd just disappear. But during that little moment, it was like, okay, yeah, I'm back in it, right? And my coach is helping me in the moment. We need coaches like that. We need mentors like that in the faith. People who, hey, they already have more experience in prayer. They already have more experience in reading the scriptures. They can teach us how to be a godly spouse, to be a godly single, to be a godly parent. They can teach us how to follow Jesus in the workplace because they've been doing that for years. They could teach us how to share the gospel because they're good at that. They've been doing that. We need these mentors, these coaches, to show us what following Jesus looks like. Because the reality is, what following Jesus is often more caught than taught, right? We need a model. We need to be able to actually see this. We need to be running behind the shoulder of our coach and saying, how do you do this? What do we do? How are we sprinting here? What's the deal? We need coaches, mentors, who we can learn from and model our lives after. Paul says this very thing in Philippians 3:17. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Or Eugene Peterson in The Message, using this running language, says, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. Those are the types of people that you need to find. Who could be a coach for you? Who could be a mentor for you in this church? Go ask them. Go ask them out for coffee. Ask them out for lunch. Maybe, hey, you want to go for a run? All right? Like, go ask them. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to programatize this here at Hill City. This has got to be organic. This has got to be you finding another believer here and going and asking them to learn from them, to meet up with them. We all need coaches. And this is happening in our men's ministry. This is happening in our women's ministry very organically. And so who can you go and ask? Now, here's the thing. I want to ask you the inverse question. Who are you mentoring? Who are you coaching? Who are you discipling? Aren't we all called to make disciples? Are we all called to coach other people along? Here's the thing. You've been a Christian for 40 years. That's great. You got something to offer, obviously. You've been a Christian for 4 months. You have something to offer to the person who just got off the starting line. You're ahead of them still, aren't you? You've run several hundred meters at this point, and you even know a little bit about what it means to follow Jesus in that first mile. Every single one of us has something to offer to the people around us when it comes to the faith. We all need each other to make disciples, to stir us up, to push us on, to grow in our faith. So first, find other believers to run with. Secondly, find someone to push you in your faith. Number three, find people who keep you going, who keep you going. The author of Hebrews says, encouraging one another, right? We got to be encouraging one another. Hey, keep going. You got this. Who's encouraging you in your faith? Who's telling you, keep going? I know it's hard, but keep going on this race. You got this, right? There's that strong pull, like I said, from culture saying, hey, just veer off here or slow down. Get off the path, right? There's so many other voices in our world that are saying, just stop. Get off. We need people in our lives who are saying, keep going. The race is worth it. Following Jesus is worth it. Keep going. Push to that finish line. And you never know what one word of encouragement might do. There is so much power held in just one single word of encouragement, isn't there? And you think about the reciprocal effect of encouragement. When you are encouraging other people, you can't help but feel lifted up yourself. You can't help but start feeling more positive, encouraged yourself. When you're encouraging other people, it has that reciprocal effect. So who are you encouraging today? Who needs your encouragement? Who is on mile 22 just cramping from hips to toes and needs you? Say, keep going, right? That little Dixie cup of encouragement. You got this. Slap on the back. Keep running, right? Like, we all need that person, those people surrounding us. And we never know what that one little encouragement might do. Back in 2020, there was a girl on our worship team, and I was a worship leader at the time, and she had moved away that summer. And so a few months later, I just messaged her and said, hey, we miss you. Hope you're doing well. And she did not message me back for a long time, ghosted me. A few weeks later, though, she did message me back and said, hey, I just want to let you know, on the day that you emailed me, it was my dad's birthday. Now, a few weeks before this, he unexpectedly passed away. And we took my family and I took that email as just a sign from God that he's with us through this, right? Did I know that? I didn't know that at all. I didn't know about her dad. I didn't know it was his birthday. It would have been his birthday that day. But that one little, short email sent off, right, was an encouragement that for them, God's with them, right? What is one thing you could do to encourage someone today? You have no idea how far that might go. There's an incredible story of these two brothers, the Brownlee brothers. They're also world-class athletes, and they're in 2016, they were competing for in the World Triathlon Series, a race in Mexico, and one brother, Johnny, he had a major lead. He was actually set to win the whole thing. Things were going exceedingly well until the very, very end, and then things went terribly wrong. This is what happened in that race. Man, isn't that incredible? Incredible story, and there's probably no better picture of Christian community. That's the Christian life, is that he literally picked his brother up and carried him to the finish line. That's what we do for each other. We pick each other up and we carry each other. And you notice at the end, he literally pushes his brother into second place. Pushes his brother. He's like, I'm taking third place. And he just, in humility, boom, pushes his brother. That's what we do for each other. That's the Christian life. We carry each other all the way to the finish. And the reality is there is a finish line. We're not running aimlessly. We're not running in vain without any direction. There's a very specific finish line we are running towards. And the very end of this, he says, let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What's the day? That's the finish line. That's eternity. That's heaven. That's the golden streets, the green pastures of heaven that are awaiting us on the other side of the finish line. There is so much joy, peace, love, beauty, excitement, wonder, more than anything that the mind could even conceive on the other side of that finish line. There is Jesus standing there at the finish line, big smile on his face. Welcome home. That's Jesus cheering you on. Welcome home. So as we run the race of faith, here's what we always need to keep in front of our minds. Keep that finish line in mind. As you're running, always keep the finish line of eternity before you. Because every single drop of sweat, when you are tempted to quit, when you're tempted to slow down, when you're tempted to drop out of the race, think about the finish line. Think about eternity with Jesus forevermore. Every single drop of sweat, every aching muscle, every tear is worth it because the day is drawing near. And as we run, let us run with that vigor, that passion, so that we too, like the Apostle Paul, we can say, remember his line, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So let us keep going. Let's keep pushing. Let's get to that finish line together. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship.
Thanks for tuning in to the Hill City Church podcast. You can find out more about our church at hillcityboise.org. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Hill City Boise. We hope this teaching has encouraged you and helps you follow Jesus with everything.